Welcome back, freedom lovers. All right, settle down. We're about to present the new board, which is composed of new and old members, not necessarily in terms of age, but in terms of experience. Here we have Meg Ford, which is joining the board this year. And right beside her is Nurici Sanchez, who happens to be elected as our president of the board. And as our secretary this year, we have Cosimo, who was also on the board the previous year. And then we have Alexandre Franke, who was also on the board, who serves as a vice secretary. And we have here Alain Day, who was on the board previously. He holds the position of vice president. So, yeah. And we have the Sean McCance. Well, unfortunately, due to some untimely printing accident, Jim Hall has been stuck in an annual report. So, well, we have Giko standing in for Jim here this year. And with that, we're starting the Q&A, I believe. No.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Before we actually dive into the Q&A, we wanted to say a huge thanks to last year's board members, Jeff, Andrea Verri, who could not come to GUADEC this year, and also Kat, who is actually not on the board anymore, but still our treasurer. So huge thanks to Kat for doing that, and to our board. Also, a huge thanks to the membership team and to the elections committee for pulling off another successful election this year. So, thank you. And with that, we're going to start the Q&A. This is your opportunity to ask us questions about anything you'd like, including ponies, I don't know, anything. Runner? Okay, Bastian. And then I'll keep this up here.
Hi. I just wanted to know, is Rachel Stallman still on foundation list correcting people about GNU Linux? I ask this every year.
I believe you would have to ask someone who admins that list. Is anybody who admins that list? I don't know the answer to that question.
It's easy to find out. Find an email and say Linux. Okay. Question over here.
Hello. First, I want to thank all of you for being on the board. And I am curious, what would you state is the board's biggest challenge you're facing this year, or what have the new board find anything it want to achieve during its terms, next term?
So obviously, top of the list is getting an executive director. That's not something that we're primarily responsible for, but we will obviously be involved in that process, and we'll be making sure that we react quickly when we're presented with a candidate by the committee who's doing that work for us. And we're going to be making sure that we're kind of on top of what's going on there and making sure that everything moves as it should. Other priorities, I think, probably continuing to support our conferences, making sure that we get sponsorship brochures out in a timely fashion, making sure that we're talking to partners about conference sponsorship. That's obviously an important source of income for us. And I think apart from that, the other thing is we're kind of going into a process of thinking about what we want to achieve as a board. And we had our all-day meeting 2 days prior to Quadec, and we had our advisory board the day before. And those were both really interesting meetings where we had quite a lot of ideas and we're thinking about how we can possibly expand the role of the board and setting ourselves new objectives. But that's still quite new, and we're going to have to be exploring that in the coming weeks and months. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's a good answer, I think. Okay. So, thank you.
As Kat earlier uncautiously said, we can ask follow-up financial questions. just vague question, like how much is in the bank account? Like any ballpark figure or whatever like that?
Ooh. What? Camera. Hi, camera. Let me just do a quick back of the envelope calculation. I'm only going to go and talk about GNO money, not money we hold for other organizations. I think there is around $350,000 at the moment. Yeah. Does anyone else have any finance questions? Hi, Andreas. 1 second, let me pass you the microphone.
So kind of related financially with those money, how much is how much is a salary of a executive director-ish per year? And how much is usually the ad board income?
Okay, so I think the salary of our previous executive director was about $90,000 plus some benefits and travel costs. And at the moment, the advisory board fees are slightly less than that. What we invest this year was $80,000. But if we get an executive director, I should hope that they would bring in more money. Through advisory board, new advisory board members, and also through increasing personal donations and other sources as well. I think Alberto had a question, if someone could take a microphone up for him.
So in the slides you mentioned the amount of, the size of the budget for the Hackfest sponsorship. So that was 40,000. I was wondering, what was this year's budget to sponsor people coming to Quadec?
Pardon? How much did we pay to sponsor people to come to Quadec?
Yes.
Is that a question?
So that I know it.
So our budget for Quadec sponsorship is normally 35,000 euros. That was the budget we had this year. We had the same for the last 2 years as well. And we offered pretty much all of that to within $500 or so, well, 500 euros or so. Unfortunately, a number of people couldn't make it. I haven't got the final figure yet on what we are spending because we haven't received all the receipts, but it's under that. Also, Alberto, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, any more financial questions? Okay, well, glad you're also interested in finances. And if anyone thinks of anything else they want to ask me, then just call me back.
Bastian.
How often does the board meet these days? I mean, not meet, but also maybe video conference or telephone or?
Yeah, so we have regular weekly meetings via teleconference, but we've also been talking about potentially having some kind of leadership meeting, doing like a leadership hack fest even, because there are some bigger issues sometimes that pop up that require more time. But yeah, we definitely do a weekly meeting to just check in on ongoing projects.
We only meet here face-to-face every year. This is the only face-to-face meeting that we have. Yeah.
Hello. So I heard some stuff through the grapevine yesterday, but I wanted to ask, are there any plans to hire sysadmins for the next year?
So we had, how long ago was that? 2 years or so, the sysadmin fundraiser, longer? A fundraiser to pay a sysadmin. It wasn't an employment situation. It was, you know, contract work, part-time, and Andrea was doing that work. We then used up some general funds to continue some of that work after the funds from that that campaign had ended. We have had some discussions about possibly doing another campaign around getting more funds for sysadmin work. I don't think that there's anything solid right now. We recognize that there's a need, but we're also looking at, you know, the financial implications of hiring a new ED. So we've talked about it, but there's no solid plans right now.
One aspect of that is if we are going to do a fundraising campaign, it would be nice to know from the community what kind of sysadmin work they would like to see done. You know, we're not just raising that, we wouldn't just be raising that money to maintain the infrastructure that we've got. We also want to improve it. And if we're spending foundation money on that, then, you know, we would obviously be interested to know what the community would like to see from that. And that would be really useful in terms of informing our decisions, I think.
Three or four years ago, I'm hoping three, but I'm thinking four, we did a security and privacy Friends of GNOME fundraiser. It's not working? Okay. Sorry. Three or four years ago, we did a security and privacy Friends of GNOME fundraiser. And to my knowledge, we have not spent any of that money on security or privacy, or spent it at all, as far as I'm aware, which is not great after so long. We kind of dropped the ball on that. Do we have any plans on how to use that money at long last?
Yes. So the you're right. The money is still in the bank. It's still basically saved for exactly that purpose. I have proposed yesterday one of the unconference lots to exactly discuss this with the community. Part of the problem has been honestly like identifying a group of people that can even, you know, decide where to spend that money. So that's why, you know, I want to propose kind of an unconference lot to get a sense of where the community wants that money to go. I have some ideas myself. So you know, the ideally, the plan is we do this, we come up with a short list of, like, you know, three or four things that seem realistic to do with the budget. I think it's something between 20 and, so, yeah, something around 20K, $20,000. And then we would put up, like, a call for bids, basically, where, you know, companies or individuals can send their proposals, and then we would choose one and do it. So that's the plan, and vote my unconference lot if you want to see this happen, basically, so that we can talk about this tomorrow.
I selfishly have a question myself, and that is, we saw recently with GNOME Maps that our free software depends on well, not necessarily non-free infrastructure, but infrastructure provided by third parties, and that we can't really rely on that as a community going forward. Does the board have any plan on what to do about the possible need for an increased expenditure on infrastructure in the future?
I'm going to speak a little bit personally. I mean, I think in that case, we've solved it in the short term. We found a new provider. I personally think that if we could provide some sort of proxy service, at least to our actual provider, that no, Andre says no. I just think that that allows us to switch things over. That's me. I'm not speaking for the board.
As far as I remember that thread, either in Buxilla or on the mailing list, I think the issue with proxying was simply that it was against the terms of services.
Okay. Okay.
Of that new provider we're using,
I think. Okay, so that's something we have to be aware of. I don't know that we could ever have the infrastructure to actually provide the map tiles on our own servers. It's not something that's immediately on our plate. It can be if you want it to be, right? But this is something that possibly would require some sysadmin time. So this would be going into that, what would we spend sysadmin money on? Well, that would be one thing. So if there's infrastructure you believe we need, then let us know so that we know that.
Yeah. So something else I want to add, again, like speaking personally, I think one way that we can make this work is by identifying, companies that can be interested in sponsoring or maintaining part of that infrastructure in the same way that we have, Red Hat, for instance, maintaining the build servers for things like build.gnome.org or sdk.gnome.org. There is no like active initiative on the board side for this particular piece of infrastructure for the map server at the moment. But if any of you works for a company that may be interested in helping out, that would be of course very much appreciated.
The other thing that the board can do is help to negotiate those kind of arrangements. And as the maps situation was going on, we were discussing it and talking about ways that we could support the maps team. And so we are available if any of you maintain applications where you're needing to talk to companies about infrastructure.
I have a related question with regards to the one of the students working on the bookmark syncing. So it was using the Mozilla infrastructure. Was the board involved in negotiating? Are they okay with using their infrastructure, or was it just a prototype kind of approach?
I'll let Michael answer that one.
Yes, that was one of the reasons that we chose the Mozilla service. They're fine with us using the existing Firefox infrastructure. They have some terms and conditions that we have to be aware of and follow, but for the most part, it's just don't try to trick users, don't try to install malware, such things. Don't pretend to be Firefox.
So more than a question, this is going to be a bit of a request or comment. Now that we're speaking about infrastructure, I wanted to remind everyone that Qualcomm, Banana Pi, and ARM gave us hardware this year that is on our data centers for the Flatpak and Continuous initiatives. And I have single board computers that if GNOME developers want to use, please shout at me. And I wanted to request the board that whenever you see an opportunity to highlight this kindness from these companies, please keep it in mind.
It's on, right. So I have a question. You know, we've done some great stuff with our trademarks in terms of these stores and things like that. What other, do you think, business agreements that we could make by the foundation that would continue to spread our awareness elsewhere, outside of traditional circles?
Speaking personally, I'm not sure whether agreements are what we're interested in rather than relationships.
Relationships, or I use agreements because of the stores, but yes, you can. Yeah. That would be fine as well.
Yeah. I mean, one of the nice things about those agreements is that they have actually led to relationships developing. Like, it sounds like a punitive thing, but it's actually not at all. And, you know, we've got some great relationship with HelloTux and Unix stickers, and they're like making donations, and we're talking to them about products we'd like to see and things like that. So that's really nice.
I'm speaking, you know, this is my personal opinion. Something that I would like to see, and I don't know if it's exactly the same thing that, you know, you're asking actually, but perhaps right now, you know, the only really way, like formal way, of companies to interact with the foundation is through the advisory board. And it would be nice to bring more companies into the advisory board ecosystem, and perhaps, you know, the levels of the current levels of engagement of sponsorship and monetary involvement make that a little harder than it could be. So there has been some brainstorming between, like, you know, among a few of us to try to make that a little bit more accessible for smaller companies or potentially, you know, freelancers or individuals that still want to have a an open line of communication, like a first-hand line of communication with the foundation, but maybe they don't necessarily have the financial means to afford the current fees. So that's personally something that I would like to see.
When I first ran for my first stint on the board over 5 years ago, I think one of the things I said in my candidacy emails was that I would love us to have partnerships with hardware vendors. And that's still something that I think would be really, really interesting. But I'm older and grayer and more cynical. It's realistically not something that this board of volunteers could take on. And I'm not even sure it's something that an executive director could take on by themselves, given the other massive workload that we throw onto an executive director. So that's an area that I find personally very interesting, but I don't see us pursuing unless there's a kind of a surge from within the community to make that happen. More questions. We're done.
What is the current board planning to do for the next year to increase our income?
Hire an executive director, improve our personal fundraising. We've been looking into revamping Friends of Gnome, helping the engagement team to perform more fundraising events, getting our conference sponsorship brochures out early, in good shape, offering good packages for sponsors who want to pay for sponsorship for all our events. Anything else? Oh, yes. Yes. Potentially restructuring the advisory board fees.
Okay, so following on from the executive director a bit, what do you expect the hired executive director to be able to do to increase income? And how much do you expect one to cost to the foundation, including all expenses?
Who wants to answer that?
Cat. As you know, when we have employees, we have someone who is on our board who is officially appointed as that employee's manager. You guys might not know that. Kat knows that, though. And I think exact figures of how much we would expect an executive director to bring in within exact timeframes is something that perhaps the board needs to discuss. It needs to be between that manager and that employee. And in particular, I'm not comfortable giving a number because then I'm kind of setting a promise to whatever candidates might be out there.
Than giving any numbers, in what ways do you think an executive director is likely to bring in more income? Like, what could they possibly do?
The obvious ones. I mean, there are some that are obvious, some that could be more creative. But I think one of the one of the current limitations of like ourselves is that we volunteer our time. So someone that can actually make it their job to reach out and follow up and keep pushing and spreading as much as they can the GNOME project and asking for money and demonstrating the value of the GNOME project to potential investors. It's a full-time job. I mean, it's not something that we can take on with our current workload. So that's the obvious one for me. Anyone else?
Okay, so I'll weigh in because I've had to do this for the past 2 months. For Alaska Gnome. Fundraising is really difficult. It takes a certain amount of persistence, but you also have to put in a certain kind of messaging of what your project stands for and where it is. And it's a little difficult because the board does not the project goes where it goes, and the board follows because we don't control, the board doesn't control where the project goes. So each time we're doing messaging, the only thing you could do is sort of the executive director has used their influence to kind of tell you guys, this is where we need to go when we need to get money. So that means if IoT is the big thing, then we need to figure out how we place GNOME in IoT, because that's where companies are giving money or wanting to spend money on. So where the executive director goes where money goes is kind of, they got to go where the money goes to some extent. Or we have to find new places to go. So that's sort of what I've learned in the past couple of months. And there's a persistency. You got to keep going there, making the sale, coming back, then going again. I've sometimes sat and stared at the ceiling, figuring out how to do this. So, something to think about.
Does that answer your question?
I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to maybe say exactly what you just said in different words. I think one of the challenges an executive director faces, unlike in a corporate scenario where you have employees and you go out and you try to make business connections, and you can commit to some extent to the technical direction of the company that you're the director of to make these connections. And the executive director simply doesn't have that power to control our technical direction. The board doesn't control technical direction. The executive director doesn't. So that's definitely a challenge for the executive director, but I would say it's something that I would hope that the executive director could engage the community and inform the community of what they have found corporate interest in. And I encourage everybody within the community to become friends with the executive director and to, you know, to listen to that feedback that the executive director is able to bring back to us from where we can get more interest.
So I guess we're on this topic of executive director, and I was having this conversation a little bit earlier after looking at your financial report, and I was measuring the past 3 years, and I kind of threw in the executive director's salary in there, and as well as their travel, and you know, the GNOME project is in a plus right now, where 2 years ago it looked like it was in a negative, right? Is there any thought as to perhaps just not have an executive director? Do they have some sort of legal application for the foundation in that sense? Would it be possible to actually look at a different position title where you would look for a person that could engage with what the GNOME project and you as a board would really like to enter into?
So one of the things that the executive director does is not just go out and find new partners, but helps to keep the ones we have. So that's a really important concern for us. We need to make sure that we have strong relationships with our existing supporters so we don't lose them. So I think for most of us on the board, I think I'd be right in saying that, you know, not having an executive director long term, like, we'd like that not to be an option for that reason. There was something else I was going to say.
Just really quickly, if it's the title that you're asking about, I don't know that, you know, that is something that I've wondered myself, and I've even, you know, a couple of people have given me suggestions. They're like, oh, maybe you shouldn't be looking for an executive director. Maybe you should be looking for a general manager, or like some other form of you know, some other title. Well, to me, that ultimately doesn't change the nature of the fact that, you know, what that person would ultimately do. But
sure, but you know, a title comes with money, and there's, you know, a title like executive director, there's a certain expectation, and of course then you have infrastructure surrounding that in any sort of business environment, even though this is a foundation, and even non-profits have executive directors, but you know, you look at how big those institutions are, how big those organizations are. I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, really? I've remembered what I was going to say, and it kind of follows on from that. I think Bradley wants to speak at the back. We've had that discussion a little bit within the board. I think what we discovered is that if you want someone who's going to go out and raise money, they need to be at that level where they are able to talk to the people who control the money. And if you want someone who is at that level and has that Rolodex and the contacts, then you have to pay for that. If you hire someone, a more junior candidate, with the idea that you're going to pay them less, they're maybe not going to be able to do that critical fundraising that you need them for. So it's difficult.
So most of you know I'm involved with an organization called Software Freedom Conservancy that's a fiscal sponsor. So we're basically a group of many different organizations like GNOME. We have projects that are actually financially larger than GNOME. We have some of our projects that have in their earmarked account $400,000 or $500,000, more than GNOME currently has. And the biggest argument I constantly make to them is that they're making a huge mistake by walking around with giant cash balances. While it sounds good to say, you know, Project Foo has $500,000 in the bank, that money was probably coming from donors that expected your organization to do something with the money to advance the project. Certainly you can debate how you should invest that money and what type of staff you should, have. That's a good debate to have. Should it be an executive director? Should it be another staff? But I think speaking from another nonprofit, just to give friendly advice, GNOME should spend its money some way to advance the GNOME project, not let it sit in the bank. GNOME's always been a fiscally conservative organization. It's never been in the red with regard to their accounts. So if it goes wrong, you lay the person off when you start to go broke. It's what you have to do. Any good executive director will know that's their fate if they don't raise money. So I think the board's making the right decision. I wish some of our member projects at Conservancy would hire a staffer of their own. Like, we have our own staff at the top level, but they should have their own staff. They have money for it. They don't. They just let it sit in the bank. So I hope GNOME won't let its money sit in the bank and we'll hire someone.
So speaking as someone who's been working for a GNOME-related consultancy for the last decade, there was a long time when the first 5 years of we had Nokia, and Nokia spent a lot of money using GNOME not as a desktop but as a platform to build a different product. And when they disappeared and stopped showering money on the project, GNOME 3 happened, and there was a disinterest in the platform from developers towards building a desktop, a product. And I think if, as a community, we choose to focus on the desktop, we'll have to accept that there's fewer companies who are interested, that we're going to rely on Red Hat and Endless and SUSE, and that's about it. And if we want to have more companies interested joining the ad board, developing GNOME-based products, we have to care more about GNOME as a software development platform and as a bag of pieces that are stable, that have stable APIs, and nuts. And even if that makes making the desktop a bit harder. Or we can say the desktop is important and the rest are just artifacts. This is a bit of a comment.
This is where the debate gets going, right?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
So... So, right, consultancies. Great stuff. So, one of the problems with having a platform and not having a product if the platform is the product, you're liable to get pushed in 20 different directions. Because consultancies don't drive it, they consume it. And companies that use consultancies or decide to use a platform as a product will likely try to push it in different directions because everyone has its own view of the thing. The reason why people started using GNOME as their platform is because we had a fairly complicated vision that was driven by our desktop. We tried to fix the Linux desktop, the entire operating system, really, from hardware management to security to the desktop UI and everything else. And the reason why Nokia was able to take that and put it inside a tablet is because we actually made it work. We should continue pushing the desktop, and pushing the desktop allows us to push the platform, and somebody else can take the platform and remove part of it, remove the shell, for instance, and have a fairly competent operating system that you can build a shell on top. That's what Endless did. And that's also what Nokia did, partly. Our platform at the time was pretty dire. We had to basically implement it, but that's what happened. We did. We actually did an entire operating system. You cannot take any other operating system that is Linux-based apart from Android, and Android has, like, Google behind it. Google has more engineers working on Android than people in this room. Many more. So the end result is that the only way we can concentrate on making the platform better is if we have an actual goal, an actual product that we can use to drive that platform. And the desktop is our product. So if we stop concentrating on that and we start concentrating on this is the platform is a big bag of Legos that you can take and do whatever you want, the engineering challenges grow exponentially because the interaction between the components and the vision decreases exponentially because now you don't have to care about the entire collection of things. You have to care about only your little project. So I don't want another Nokia. Nokia almost killed this project. Yes, a lot of people got a lot of money out of it. Not many people that are actually in this room and not many people that stayed around. I didn't get that much money out of it. I'm sorry. I wish, but I was not the owner of the consultancy. But yeah, the way we do things is concentrating on our thing and try to make it better, trying to make it better than everybody else, and provide a platform to people that want to consume it. If you want to provide, if you want to use a platform for your own product, then you're very much welcome to do so. The important thing is not to basically block everything else to just provide the desktop. Is to continue to grow the platform, to continue to fix the problems that live in the Linux space, but continue to do so with the perspective of GNOME as a complete platform, as a complete desktop, as a complete operating system for people to use.
I mostly agree with Emanuele. I just want to add that I don't like platform versus desktop to be an either or, a dichotomy like that. I agree. We need a product vision. At the end of the day, it can be whatever. It can be a desktop. It can be, you know, right now it is to drive the project forward. And then there are things that build on top of it. There are some things that we can certainly improve to make it more attractive to external companies as a platform. For instance, make the developer experience much better. Create an application ecosystem through initiatives like Flatpak and Last GNOME and things like that. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be making a great desktop because that without that there is really nothing that holds it all together in my mind.
Olivier, when you asked that question, I'm kind of interested. Is there anything specific that you would like to see from the board in this regard? You know, we're sitting here as your elected board members, so like just to clarify, like what. What's your motivation behind asking that question? Like, what would you like to see from us?
It wasn't really a question for the board, but more for the community about what we want. And I think it's absolutely fine that we say we want to do a desktop and that we have some cool artifacts that come out of that, but they're just like side effects of doing the best desktop. A bit like Firefox decided that they're doing a browser and there's a platform underneath and they don't really care about the platform as a platform for anything else than doing a browser. And so everyone else stopped using their platform. Right? So, well, at some point people use Xul Runner to make other things and they said, well, this is not what we're doing. We're doing the best browser. And the platform kind of disappeared from... And right now, lots of people just switch to Qt because they're a company that made a platform. And it's a very good platform that's easy to use, that's really good things. And I think it's hurting us as a desktop that our developer platform is not as good as Qt in many ways. Right? We have Builder, but it's not Qt Creator. We have C, which is, you know, problematic. We have GObject, which is just not as nice as what the Qt people provide. Because this is not really our focus.
Nope, no, he's saying no now. This kind of got clarified, but the board does not set technical direction. So if the community says it's making a desktop first, That's the community. But I will kind of reiterate what I said earlier. You know, if we have an executive director who is out talking to companies, and we have an actual company that's interested and is saying, but we need this from your platform, I think that's somewhere where we need to listen to real feedback. But I'm hesitant to say, let's strip it all apart and just do a platform without anybody out there to consume it. I mean, I think Shree's had interesting things to say about making GNOME the development platform of choice for IoT stuff. But that's something that, I don't know, I think we need to find consumers and let that help drive the direction. But that, of course, has to come from the developers.
Two really quick points. First, we talk to our advisory board, and we do act as a liaison between our advisory board and the rest of the community. So we do listen to what those partners have to say, and we take that advice very seriously. So with regards to kind of what people need out of GNOME, whether it's desktop stuff, platform stuff, like we do try and play that role in guiding what the project should be doing as much as we can without kind of setting like out a hard kind of direction. The other point, I think something to do with, a lot of this is maybe to do with messaging and semantics. You know, I think when we went to GNOME 3, we kind of swung from one direction to the other. And as time has gone on, things have softened a little bit, and there's a kind of openness to maybe have a bit of both approaches. And a lot of it is about how we present ourselves as a project and how we communicate, you know, what we do and what we make available to the wider world. So I think there's definitely a conversation to have around that, and I'd love to see more activity around that. The engagement team has done a little bit of work in that area. We have some more information on the website that tries to be kind of showcase some of the underlying technologies, and it isn't purely desktop, about the desktop nowadays, but there's a lot more work that could be done and would be interesting to look at, I think. Shri?
So for me, I think we're in a really exciting time, right, with the Flatpak and everything else. One of the nice things is we did separate the platform from the user experience. So when you're creating devices of different parts, whether let's say like Miniboard Max or these small things, there's enough there. We can create any kind of experience on there, because if you got a device, you plug the GNOME platform in, and you know, you have your runtimes, you're able to create an experience. I think for entrepreneurs, that's really cool, especially in this age where now we're kind of doing internet connected devices. You know, I think there's opportunity there. And with the conference idea, this is exactly where we're actually trying to drive business for consultancies, because if that conference is successful, then we are providing business for all of you, because where are they going to go to get that expertise initially, especially if they want to make modifications to that platform? So, you know, this conference is for you guys as well. I mean, it's a place to get everyone in one place, and it's a honeypot essentially. So I don't think we should be focusing on this whole bag of stuff. We have everything we need to be successful right now.
And Shri, when you say this conference, I assume you're talking about Los GNOME?
Yes.
Which everybody should attend.
I think that, so you mentioned like a lot of companies don't really have as big of an interest in desktop. People are moving more towards like mobile or like interest in mobile. Was that part of it? Monopolized. Right, so...
IoT.
Can you repeat that into the microphone so that you can...
Was
thing. The desktop now it works really well. And we have really good desktops there, GNOME in one of them, and there's not so much business out there doing desktop work, right? Because people at Red Hat do an amazing job, people at NLS, even Canonical, right? If we do a desktop, there's a really small set of big companies that do it, and you're not going to have a big ecosystem that will contribute. And people don't write new commercial desktop applications, right? These just don't exist. Even in the proprietary world, on Windows and Mac, people just don't write new applications. They do
And I think that's the point that I wanted to really talk about, and I know we've kind of berated this, but I think that there's a lot of opportunity with getting new, like, university students interested in this, again, the next wave of entrepreneurs. I think part of what Endless is trying to do is like open up the doors and say there's, sure, maybe in this world that exists right now of people who already have computers, there's already like an established order, but that's such a small part of the actual world. And so if we can expose that to more people and kind of help the world see that there are billions of other users out there that we haven't reached, that's where it becomes more exciting, and that's where Flatpak and Builder and all these technologies are really going to help more people become a part of that new evolution of Linux applications. And where I think we can start to convince the Spotify's of the world and other, companies to start building Flatpak apps too, to help drive more users and all that kind of stuff.
So I just wanted to expand a little bit on this topic. For some of us who were part of that, the good old Nokia days, it's easy to fall into this emotional trap of like nostalgia. But when you actually look at the facts, GTK has more contributors than ever. This year, Endless is shipping two laptops that I know of out there with a close to, I mean, it's pretty much the GNOME vision, but with their own, experience. I just came out of a session where Bosch is shipping parts of the GNOME stack in cars. I mean, if I compare like the amount of markets that we're actually tapping from the Nokia days to now, I think we're reaching a lot more people. I mean, there are laptops being sold with vanilla GNOME, like the ones Jeff shown, and then there's the Endless stuff. If there's no interest about desktops, I don't how come that's happening, and there's also the Chrome OS stuff. Like Chrome OS is growing a lot, and so there's something there. There's room to provide something different than the traditional desktop experience. And with regards to the point of like companies not investing big bucks in making desktop applications, that's probably actually a good thing for GNOME and for free software, because that means we don't have to replicate the myriad of corporate apps to actually replace Windows. If everything is a web app, then closed source software is irrelevant in terms of the OS that runs on my laptop from that perspective. So what I'm trying to say is that we have a lot of things to be positive about, and if there's ever been a time where GNOME has been more interesting than this, I don't know about it. I don't.
Any more questions?
So I'm wondering. One of the problems that I see with open source is that there's not enough. It's hard to find a good business model, especially for smaller apps. If you make Linux apps, is there any thought on open source funding? Are you thinking about this? I've asked about this before, and I'm wondering if it's still a topic on your mind.
Uh,
this is a topic that has come up repeatedly over the years. It always does. It's particularly topical at the moment with all the discussion around Flatpak and how we're changing how applications are hopefully going to be distributed. And the whole point of that is to try and encourage a really strong application ecosystem. Just speaking personally, I'm really interested in how we could allow people to monetize free software and sell their apps via some kind of universal Linux kind of distribution platform. I think that could really change the game in a really big way. Whether that is a practical possibility or not is a really big question. And it does, I don't think this problem needs to be solved within the GNOME project, because it's about more than GNOME. It needs to be truly cross-platform in every way. But we do obviously have an interest in trying to make that happen. And one of the basic problems that you have there is resources. So to maintain those distribution platforms takes a lot of different kinds of resources. You need infrastructure, you need legal help, you need administrators to process payments if you're accepting money. I mean, that's the whole like financial apparatus that needs to be run, and it requires staff in which to do all of that. So there's a very, this is the problem we've always bumped into whenever we've discussed this in the past. You know, how do we get those resources? Are they available? Speaking purely on a personal basis, I'd be interested in seeing how the GNOME Foundation could help us to do that, hopefully in discussion with our partners. Whether it's a realistic project or not, I don't know. It might not be. I'd quite like to try just to see what happens, but that's something that the new board is going to have to discuss and agree as a group. Is that?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Going once? Going twice? Okay, I think we're done. Thank you very much.
I know, yeah, don't leave. We are now going to do the big reveal behind the pants winner. So first, I'm going to give you guys clues, see if you can guess who it is. Oh, what are the pants? Yeah, sure. Do you want to?
I'm not even old enough to remember how the pants started, so I don't think anyone on this board is quite that old. There is a long-standing tradition in GNOME of giving a pair of pants to somebody in recognition of their outstanding contribution to the project and to the community. So. I think that's all you really need to know.
All right. So the pants winner this year has been contributing to GNOME since at least 1999. This person is known as the fixer and generally makes things better, getting to the root of the problem instead of just patching things up. This person does an incredible Swedish chef impression, been told. Has also been involved with a lot of different technology, including GTK, GDK. I don't know what I wrote here. The old GDM greeter, high DPI support, Nautilus, Spice, GIO, and Flatpak. This year's winner is Alex Larson.
And
Right.
Thanks a lot. That warms my heart. I'll try to carry these forward the next year and make Flatpak even better. Thank you all.
Thank you, Alex. And with that, we are done. Go forth and eat dinner.